World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, here's all I know. Sorry, I'm fighting a cold here. Summer cold. My mom told me when I was a little kid, nothing worse than summer cold. Boy, I got one. Been crazy all weekend. So help carry me out there. Help carry me out there. My wife got me drinking water. I'm taking cider. I'm taking ivermectin. I'm taking, oh my God, whatever. We're gonna get through this thing. You know, you can burn down Los Angeles and nobody goes to jail. You go to Washington, D.C. and show up and try to petition the government for a redress of grievances, and they spend the next 6 years running around trying to lock you up for showing up, right? If we can't see what's going on, understand that there's a war, and I hate to, you know, be redundant. I don't hate to be redundant. Being redundant, I would say, the kings of this earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed. And if you are not understanding that this is a total, completely spiritual war, not Republican, Democrat, not none of that stuff. Don't fall for that. Not anymore. George Floyd, we now know without a shadow of a doubt, George Floyd died of a fentanyl overdose, not of some cop putting a knee on the back of his neck. And by the way, that cop's still languishing in jail, right? They're trying to burn down Los Angeles. And see, it goes. I'm sorry the way my mind works. Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, huh? So we get to take a whole population of people, tell them to wear masks. Huh? Oh, yeah, everybody's got to wear a mask for 2-3 years. Wear a mask. And now they're out in the streets doing riots, and they're all wearing masks. Boy, have they set us up or what? Have they set us up? I'm telling you. But we're in the midst of it, man. And, you know, if anybody's part of this show at all, anytime, though, this is what we've been saying is going on. This thing is going to come to a head. It's going to come to a head. Personally, me, I don't care if L.A. falls off the end of the earth. I couldn't care less about Los Angeles. Is there any place where there's more evil coming out of other than Los Angeles, California? Anybody think of any place more evil than that? Yeah, that's where I am. Okay, so anyway, thanks for being here. Let me cover a few things before we jump in it. In a crazy kind of way, I would sort of like to make this Paul, New York, I guess. I'd like to make this a flea flicker Monday just because I've got this monster cold jumping all over me. Hey, listen, the annual is free, okay? Come on, man, come on. George is going to come out and help me clean it. I got a lot going on this week. I think starts this weekend. Pray for good weather, will you? I mean, we'll be okay. We'll get away with it, whatever we want to. Just pray for good weather. We got a big tent. It's free. Now look, Spencer, can you help me out here? You need to register. I got to know how many are coming. Either that or you don't get a hot dog. Either way, if you're going to come, we've switched it. You can go here and you don't have to pay. Now, those who said, well, Coach, I already paid. Well, God bless you. It's a donation. It's an offering. You write it off on your taxes. Everybody else, there it is. Donations encouraged, but it's a free ticket. You come. And you got to register. Let us know you're coming. So we got enough to cover everything. And by the way, look, tent reservation. Some of you, Mel went out and got a big 20-person tent. Half of it's but for women, the other half of it's for men. You want to sleep in a tent, you can do that. You can do it for free. I don't have time to be getting hotel reservations for everybody. If you need some help, I want to get a hold of us. We'll try to direct you to it, but I don't have time to be able to do that. We're working on some Airbnb, some different things. Now, look, this one's going to be, let me say this in a way that's going to be, Lord, let this sound proper. So a lot of you, that's a lousy way to start. Thanks to all of you who send me suggestions of speakers. And there's some great, man, there's some great ones. There's some great ones. But here's what I want this one to be. I want this event to be a family affair. I want you to hear from Craig. I want you to hear from these guys who are doing stuff on the front line and encourage you how to get involved. We could bring in all kinds. I could bring in a lot of fabulous speakers. We're not doing this, folks. This is more of a family affair, more of a family-friendly event. We would love for you to come and be part of it. And we're working even right now on the schedule and who's going to speak and when they're going to speak. And because I don't want to spend all the time sitting there listening to David Arthur speak. I mean, I'm glad, but, you know, I want to be able to fellowship. I want to be able to rub arms with some of y'all and get to know some of y'all and do all that kind of stuff. So just that's what's going to be. Ain't no big names coming. Ain't no big names. It's us. It's family affair. And I thank all of you who suggested other speakers. God bless you all, I think. But I think this event is for our team, for our guys. For our guys. So that's really where we're going with it, all right? So get registered. It's coming up this weekend. It's going to be great, and I look forward to it. Lorraine's got her hand up. Go ahead, Lorraine.
Good morning. I just had a thought regarding, like, the L.A. fires. So yeah. when does Bohemian Grove meet?
I don't know.
So is this the, because they meet in June, and then you start having all those fires right after they all leave, well, right?
Right. We don't think this is a spontaneous eruption, right? Folks are smarter than that, right? It's not
so
spontaneous.
I'm thinking that this thing is interwoven with them meeting at Bohemian Grove in California as a distraction. And then also Juneteenth is coming up.
Yeah. You have any idea how big California is? I mean, you can drive all day and not be to the end of California. So I'm not making light of it, Lorraine. I'm not. Folks, this is all Lucifer based. It's all the seed of the serpent. All of it. All of it. Everything you see going on, seed of the serpent. Evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Did you guys know that Governor Newsom in California is Nancy Pelosi's nephew? Did you know that? How does this work? How does this work?
And Governor J.B. Sorry, I interrupted. And Governor J.B. Pritzker's cousin.
Is this unbelievable, folks? This is like a demonic royal family that we're dealing with. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. And I got some good news for you. Pride is collapsing. Did you guys know that? Pull that one up there real quickly. Number two, Craig, I'm going to get you in here just a second. Pride's collapsing, folks. What do you mean, Coach? I mean, people are finally standing up and say, screw it. Pride funding collapses. At a glance, corporate America, once a major backer, retreats from Pride events due to shifting political dynamics. Folks, what are those shifting political dynamics? Anybody know? I know what it is. People started freaking open their mouths. I had enough of that crap. That's the shifting dynamics. That's the shifting dynamics that's going on. San Francisco Pride unexpectedly loses sponsors like Comcast, Anheuser-Busch. Why would Anheuser-Busch sponsor homosexuality? Can somebody explain that to me? That doesn't even make sense. Good old beer-drinking cowboys want to support Pride? Huh? Come on. Majority of New York City Pride donors withdraw support over economic uncertainty. The Heritage of Pride grapples with a significant financial shortfall. They're $750,000 in the hole. Heritage of Pride, the producer of New York's Pride festivities, faces financial chaos as 25% of corporate donors have unexpectedly canceled or reduced their support. Really?
Yay.
Political climate changes under President Trump. I'm sorry that we didn't elect Billy Graham or Franklin Graham or Joel Osteen. Political climate change on President Trump drive this mess. See, President Trump said it's okay to be masculine, be a man again. It's okay. It's okay to say things people like to hear. It's okay. It's all right. It emboldens others. Political climate changes under President Trump drive this massive retreat. Retreat? Really? Key sponsors, see, folks, they used to be totally and completely afraid of the, excuse me, homosexual mafia. They're not so afraid of it anymore. They're not afraid of it anymore. Why? Because the guy in the White House ain't afraid of them.
Boom.
Key sponsors previously committed over 200,000 have withdrawn, citing budget constraints. I bet. The fear of repercussions from the Trump administration. You notice how they're calling him a dictator now, huh? A dictator? The homos, they weren't dictators, huh? They weren't going to make everybody in America swallow pride, huh? Oh, no, they weren't dictators. No, no. Suzanne Ford, executive director of San Francisco Pride, revealed surprise at the sudden exit of Comcast. Anheuser-Busch, Diageo, likening the situation to somebody in your family just all of a sudden saying, we don't want to be involved with you anymore. Really? Really? Large corporations like Booz Allen Hamilton, Deloitte, I don't even know who these things are, Comcast, Dark Cars, withdrew from World Pride in D.C. Really? Scroll up, Spence. I can't already see it. Companies fear political backlash. What? You mean they're afraid of us for once? D.C. companies fear political backlash aligned with Trump's anti-DEI initiatives, huh? They're afraid of us? Wes Shaver suggests that there's a lot of fear of repercussions for aligning with our festival. Some folks have definitely mentioned the fear of potential blowback from the Trump administration. If you're a big corporation, you're publicly supporting DEI. Donald Trump said no more.
Good.
DEI. Trump said that. No more DEI. Can I tell you something? Some of those corporations now realize they can't be blackmailed anymore. That's all it was. That's all Pride has been, is blackmailing. They combine that blackmail, Anheuser-Busch, say, you guys don't support us. Uh-oh, we're going to call you bigots and homophobes. But we're going to blackmail you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. With previous financial losses compounded, Heritage of Pride reveals a $750,000 budget shortfall. Really? Major donors like MasterCard, Nissan, and Garnier exited sponsorships. What? Organized remained stymied. How could this possibly happen? Seeking a new fundraising avenues amid downsizing and potential event cancellations. Huh? The retreat challenges Pride events to innovate and rethink financial support. In other words, they can't blackmail the companies into giving them money anymore. Community-driven initiatives and grassroots efforts must rise to preserve the spirit of Pride. Folks, Pride cometh before a fall. They've gone the wrong way. They're losing. They're losing. If we can only get the church involved, I'll go there in a second. This financial strategic shift prompts organizers to advocate for sustainable support models beyond corporate funding. In other words, the gravy trains run out from corporate America. Trump says no more DEI. Wasn't Billy Graham, wasn't Franklin Graham, wasn't TD Fakes. Trump said no more of that, no more of that DEI crap. And the companies say, woo, we don't have to support it anymore. That's what's going on. And amidst growing fear and uncertainty, Pride must pivot creatively and rally community resilience, enduring legacy, and promoting awareness and acceptance. Friends, what's going on in California is a last-ditch effort at intimidation of all things righteous. That's really all it is. That's all it is. And we know that Governor Newsom and his government there in California, they ain't gonna push back against the left. They are the left. So it's good news. I got another one I can read to him. I'm not going to. But it's collapsing. And it will collapse even more if those of us who carry the name of Christ rise up and call sin, sin. Call sin, sin. We hate alcoholism. We love alcoholics. With me? We hate thievery, but we love thieves. We hate homosexuality, but we love the homosexual. We love the homosexual so much that we're not going to let it be taught to any other children. We're not ever going to let that happen again. We love children and we love people so much that we're not going to stand by church and allow them to be programmed, indoctrinated into this wicked, wicked death style. Somebody say amen out there. Say, I know that you know.
Amen.
Because in the church, we haven't been smart enough to understand that one of the roles of the church is protection. We're supposed to be protecting our children. It'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck, throw yourself in the deepest part of the ocean, than mislead even one of these little ones that believe in me. To walk into a public school and they're teaching homosex in a public school. How's the church going to answer for that one? How are we going to answer for that one? I'll ask again. Well, looks like the culture. I know that bully Donald Trump. That bully Donald Trump has changed the whole direction of many things that are going on in America. And can I tell you this? A lot of the church is still opposing it. Why is the church opposing him? Because they are social gospel. Social gospel. They don't believe the gospel is about the future. They believe the gospel is about the here and now. And it is about the here and now. But Jesus Christ did not die on that cross so you can celebrate your sin. That Jesus loves everybody no matter how you live and just go ahead and be sinful and come to church and we love you and life will be better for all of No. In fact, God hated sin so much, he put his own boy up as collateral. You get it? That message is gone from the church, folks. It's gone. The idea of onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. See, back when they wrote that song, Onward Christian Soldiers, they weren't fighting homosexuality in the streets. They weren't fighting homosexuality in the schools. They weren't fighting that. They would have been. And now, look at where we are. We're accepting everything under the guise of Christian and loving and Christ-centered and who am I to judge? And they're eating our lunch. Hey, Ray. If they were doing in Washington, D.C. right now today what they were doing in California, would they treat those guys the same way that they did the J6ers? My answer would be
no.
Why? Because they are of their father, the devil, and the works of their father, they will do. They're doing their daddy's will. Nancy Pelosi is of the devil, and her nephew is governor. Come on. Now, this isn't hard. Put these things together. Okay, I'm rambling a little bit more than I meant to because we got some good stuff we want to get to here in a second. Who's got their hands up? Let me look here. Hang on, bear with me a second. Anybody? Yeah, go ahead. Come on in. Ray, Mary Beth, and Paul, and then I'm going to go somewhere. Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, hey, Coach. Saturday, four of us went to a gay pride event in Wausau, Wisconsin, and you won't guess who was, as I started preaching, guess who was the first one to come running at me and oppose me?
Some pastor.
The church, the universe, they're right in the midst of the thing, and they come up screaming and yelling at me. It's the church.
Yep.
You imagine, you know, they're calling themselves the church. I call them the
Antichrist. How dare you try to get those homosexuals saved? How dare you?
Yeah, so that was nuts.
It's unbelievable, man, huh? You know, we used to go to the gay pride parade. I used to go every year. It was so vile. God, it's so vile. And I almost don't have a stomach for it anymore. Because, can I tell you why? Because you look for the reinforcements. And there ain't any reinforcements because the church is on the other side. Church is on the side of the homos. Sorry. Tolerance, diversity. Mary Beth.
Hey, if you're not on God's side, I mean, about all those really important issues, you know, And I've been there myself. You're on the devil's side. If you're not on God's side, you're on the devil's side. But what was that verse you said earlier about the wicked? Not the one you just said.
Wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted.
Yeah, what do you know? Okay, the wicked. I just want to.
Hold on up, Spencer. Where are that? That's in Proverbs, I think it is. Proverbs 12. Nope. No, I just said Proverbs 12. I'm sorry. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted.
Okay, I got it.
Here it is. We'll find it. We'll find it for you. Spencer's pretty good at this. There it is. Psalm 12:8. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Hey, Spencer, real quickly, go to see if you can find out in the Message Bible. What does the Message Bible say about that? It says God's words are okay. God's words are pure words, pure silver words refined seven times in the fires of word kiln. Pure on earth as well as in heaven, God who keeps us safe from their lies, from the wicked who stalk us with lies, from the wicked who collect honors for their wonderful lies. That's a little bit of a stretch, but you get it, right? We reward lies that make us feel good.
And one more thing, Coach, I just got to say it. So went to a city meeting, and there was a pastor there who was a female and a lesbian, and I was actually wishing bad things on her, but then I realized that the Lord is going to save her, you know. But in Hurley, Wisconsin, which is the city of sin, you know, it's known across the country for its, you know, strip joints, and they say Hell, Hurley, and Hayward. Anyway, that's the neighboring town in the center of whatever commerce or whatever has their gay pride flag up, and it's just, I want to shoot that. Well, I probably shouldn't say this in the real show here. Anyway, yeah.
Hey, Spencer. See if you can find this one for me real quick. God hates all workers of iniquity. I believe it's Psalm 11:3. I'm sorry for the sniffling and everything. God hates all workers of iniquity. Why is this so hard to find? God hates all workers of iniquity. God hates all workers of iniquity. Psalm 11:5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. That's not the same verse, but there it is. There it is. Why do we love what the Lord hates? God hates all workers of iniquity. Somebody know where that? Somebody out there, dig that up for me. You think I'm lying to you? There it is. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Now, folks, that's different than the sinner.
Which book is that one?
That's five. Yeah, Psalm 5.
Okay,
that's Psalm 5. I'm sorry, I don't remember that. What's a worker of iniquity? There's a difference between a sinner and a worker of iniquity. A sinner is a guy who sins, sometimes publicly, sometimes privately. But a worker of iniquity is someone who tries to get others to engage in it. That is a worker of iniquity.
A facilitator of sins.
Say it again.
A facilitator of sins.
A facilitator of sin. And what's it say? God hateth all workers of iniquity. Sorry, you love only gospel folks out there. Now, hey, his love's available. His love is available. But if you're out there promoting sin, you're on the wrong side. If you're expecting mercy and grace, I'm all over the place here this morning. Good news. Give me some good news. Pull up, where is it? Coach, where is it? Shara Testimony. Pull that one up there. I'm sorry I didn't number them today. Did you guys see this? Now, look. Let's say you're sitting on this trial in Wisconsin. Scott Shara sent this specifically to me, and I can't have him on yet because they're still in the middle of the trial. Folks, I want you to listen to this expert testimony. A doctor they bring in to give an evaluation of what happened to Scott Shara's Gracie. Were they poisoned her to death? where they cut off all communication. Expert witness. Somebody tell me how Scott Shara does not win this. It's a minute, 30 seconds. Scott's put this together, clipped it together. You can watch it all online, by the way. Listen to this. Ask yourself, how many times did this happen all across America? Go ahead.
The number of the breaches of standard of care I identify in my report.
Hang on, freeze it. Okay, now, friends, this is Scott's expert witness, Gilbert Burdeen, MD. He's called to the witness stand. He reviewed the protocol that what they did to kill Amazing Grace, and he is now giving testimony to the jury on what he found. Okay, go ahead.
Number of the breaches of standard of care I identify in my reports are too numerous to count. Some of them stand out. One was the manner by which the father, Cheryl, was evicted from the hospital and its impact on the outcome in Gray Shara. And I found this to be shameful conduct on behalf of the hospital. The second issue were the breaches of standard of care related to informed consent. And I find it indefensible that this patient was given medication, very dangerous medications, not theoretically dangerous medications, but medications proved by the medical record to be dangerous to this patient without informed consent. The events on the 13th are very difficult to recognize. The repeated administration of Presidex on the 13th was not just a breach of the standard of care. It was insane. The administration of morphine on 10/13 to a patient who was unconscious, unresponsive, had lost her blood pressure, had no palpable pulse, and whose respiratory pattern was screaming to anybody who would look, metabolic acidosis. The administration of morphine in that situation was the worst clinical decision I have ever witnessed in over 46 years of medical practice.
Thank you so much, Dr. Burdeen. That's it for now.
Right.
That'd be a boom, wouldn't it? Would that be a boom?
Boom.
Now, I don't know how they get around that. I don't know how they get around that. Look, that medical boy, that lobby, they are powerful, baby. They are powerful. But this guy just said they killed that girl. They killed that girl. Worst medical decision you've ever seen. You know what he said? Amazing. Amazing. So let's keep praying for that, because that thing ain't over yet. They killed Grace. They killed her. What do you think, Paul?
Now you're going to see why malpractice doesn't work, right? You've got to find a doctor willing to tell the truth, knowing that if he tells the truth, he could lose his license. He could lose his position at the hospital. This guy would never, ever do this, you know, say this in the hospital that he works. I mean, he has the power to say, no, this isn't going on. So each hospital has its own demons. There's no unifications in these hospitals, okay? So you can find a hospital with good people. I don't want people to not go to the hospital where they need to. But this was astounding to me, Coach. I just, you know, I don't know how to explain it.
How they dance around that, Paul?
No, it was murder, Coach. It's just outright murder. And you know that whole idea between lactic acidosis. I mean, that's all premeditated, Coach. And what happens, it gets so acidotic, your heart won't function when it's too acidic.
They had to know that, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, Coach. Boys, if somebody needs to go to prison, it's those people, Coach. Ugh. It makes me sick.
See, folks, ask yourself this. Was it because she was Down syndrome?
Yes, Coach. Yes, Coach.
She's a useless eater, right? She's just a useless eater.
It happens to vulnerable elderly. Anybody that goes to the hospital alone who's vulnerable, you know, just have somebody with them to be their advocate.
They threw Scott Shara out. They would not let him
go. I know, and I would have gone in there and shot them all, Coach.
Mary Beth, your hand's still up. You want to say something? No. Okay, cool. All right, look, I gotta show you one more thing. One more thing. Pull up Ben Carson. pull up Ben Carson. You guys know who he is, right? But Ben Carson, 45 goals of communism. Friends, communism and atheism are twins. You understand that? Communism at the heart, the very heart of communism is atheism. They don't believe. They don't believe. And so when they say that there's no religion in public schools, well, sure there is. It's atheism. Yeah, there's a religion in there. Humanism. It's atheism. You're just real short, quick clip from Ben Carson. What a brave guy he is. Go ahead.
These things are eroding our moral fabric. And that's exactly what those who want to fundamentally change us want. If you look at the congressional record from January the 10th, 1963, Congressman Herlong of Florida read into the congressional record the 45 goals of communism in America. And they included all of those things. Gaining control of the schools and the teacher union so you can indoctrinate the kids. Gaining control of the media and Hollywood so you can change the culture of America. Making sexual perversion normal, natural, and healthy, denigrating the role of the family, elevating the role of government. It's all in there. We need to understand that we're under attack and we have to fight back.
Who do you think is orchestrating all of this?
There have been people who have been opposed to the American way and American values since the very beginning. The Europeans thought that we were crazy. They said, you can't run a nation on the will of the people. You have to have a monarch. You have to have a ruler. But in today's world, we have to contend with the factions that still believe that socialism and communism is a better way of life. You give control of your life over to others who will guarantee that they will take care of you from the cradle to the grave. All of these things are...
Uh-huh. That's it. That's it. Indoctrination centers. Craig, get ready. I'm going to flip over to you here a second and talk about this men's training you want to do. Let's get Kevin Van Story in here and then Angie. Go ahead, Kevin.
Coach, I sent you a short video of the Brunson case from Lloyd Brunson.
Look, when did you send it?
It was just after 6 your time. So
this morning you did?
Yeah. Yeah, I just saw it this morning.
I'm trying to find it.
I texted it to you.
Oh, you texted it to me. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry.
All right. Go on in, Angie.
Morning. I just think that the parallels between the communism and atheism are just so important to understand, because in communism, the only God you are allowed to have is government. That is your God. You are not allowed to have any other form of government or divine benevolent provider
they call communism. They say it's not a religion, but it's clearly a religion. It's a religion of atheism.
It is absolutely clearly a religion. And that is what they're looking, you know, secular humanism has literally killed the faith of the Western world at this point.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Psalm 78, we teach it to our children, who will teach it to their children, right? The hand, the tag team handoff of this great Christian American culture is run headlong into atheism. And because the church has pulled back from it and not really engaging in it, the atheists are running wild. How did we ever get into a country where Nancy Pelosi would wield power? Can somebody explain that to me? How did we get into a country where Joe Biden could wield power? Huh? How do we get in a country? You know who they are, some of these loony bins on the left. Who voted for them? Or did they? That's another whole thing, right? Thanks, Angie. Jared, I just sent you a video from Kevin. I haven't seen it. Brunson case. It's about the Brunson case. Can you get it up there, man? You guys know those Brunson brothers, right? They sued, saying those people haven't obeyed their oath. It went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court heard the case, and they've been mute ever since. It's about 3 minutes, I think. 3 minutes, 50 seconds. Go ahead.
In 2020, there was a joint session of Congress deciding what to do with electoral votes, because Ted Cruz wanted Congress to pause for 10 days because they had a mountain of evidence that there was some fraud going on. But members of Congress refused to support Ted Cruz. Only about 147 supported him. And so my brother called me on the phone and said, hey, I think there should be a lawsuit against these members of Congress and others for not allowing a 10-day pause for an investigation. And he says, and I have an idea that how we could pursue a lawsuit. And I said, what is it? And he says, well, we'd file a lawsuit and you could be the plaintiff. Well, I immediately said, yes, I'll be happy to be the plaintiff. Well, that turned into a federal lawsuit that was actually not dismissed at first, but it was actually unfiled by the federal court of Utah. So we took the federal court of Utah to court, and we got them, after a lot of fighting, we got them to reverse their decision and allow a lawsuit that's not even, according to their rules, supposed to be allowed in federal court. It's supposed to be in a special claims court. And after you get permission from the federal government to go to the claims court. So we made some history there, and it ended up at the Supreme Court. Okay, it was denied a hearing at the Supreme Court, and right now the appeal to the Supreme Court, which is a unique appeal as a Rule 11, there are a lot of rumors floating around right now saying that it's been executed, or it's going to be executed, it's going to be, you know, things are going to happen with it. But I just wanted to tell you from me and from the knowledge I have that there's timing. Everything happens to happen at the right time and place. And we have not had a Supreme Court that's really been whole. And until we do have a Supreme Court that is whole, Ted Cruz is set up to be the next appointed justice, Supreme Court justice, when there is a vacancy. But something has happened with the Solicitor General, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit. The United States Solicitor General takes over as the defendant's attorney in a case that's appealed to the Supreme Court of the United States. And the Solicitor General that was handling the defendants in my case was a Biden-appointed far-left liberal. Now, with President Trump just several weeks ago appointed and got confirmed his number one Supreme Court attorney, Dean John Sauer. Now, why is that important? Why is that relevant? Well, he becomes the defendant's counsel, the attorney for the 387 defendants. He has a lot of power and a lot of influence to get a conference, another conference. I've had one. I'm entitled to at least two. I've only had one, denied twice, a second one without a conference. But he has an amazing amount of power to get a conference and push this to a hearing. And now that Trump has supported my case twice, he did that back in 2023 in August. And a couple days later, that's when it was denied without a conference. So now that it's in the court, you could say that the new U.S. Solicitor General, Dean John Sauer, has this incredible position where he can do something with it at the right time. President Trump has said 2020 is not over. So this can be an incredible, exciting tool. I don't know how they're going to use it, but it could be used, can be used at the right time and place. So Dean John Sauer, the new U.S. Solicitor General, has a tremendous amount of power. The U.S. Solicitor General is considered to be the 10th Supreme Court Justice. He has a lot of power, a lot of influence, and President Trump and he, I know, support this case, so it's in their power at the right time to do the right thing. So that's the best update I can give you at this time. Thanks, everyone, for your great support.
Ask yourself this. I'm coming to you, Craig. Hang on. What do we do if we find out, which they're now saying that they're digging into it, Kash Patel is, that Obama was not an American citizen? What do we do? What's going to happen when the proof is presented that Obama, remember Joe Arpaio, fraudulent birth certificate? What are we going to do when I find out that he wasn't really an American citizen? Not a conspiracy. This stuff's going on, folks. What do we do when we find out that Joe Biden wasn't competent? Joe Biden wasn't signing those orders. Somebody else was doing it. What do we do? We're at a real, real, we're at a crossroads, man, like we ain't never been there. And it's war. Vinny, go ahead.
All right. Well, first I was going to ask, when can you unfile? Right? Is there a form for unfiling? I just wondered about that.
I don't know.
Incredible. But
they unfiled it, right? He didn't. They unfiled it.
Right. So yeah, how would you know? Yeah, you see all the shenanigans they pull. But that's a breath of fresh air. So thanks for saying that.
Kings of this earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. It never changes. And it's not Republican, Democrat. Folks, come on now. Do you have any idea how much some of those Republicans hate Donald Trump? Do you have any idea how much he probably has on those Republicans who hate him? You understand that? You think it's just corrupt Democrats? Really? Kevin.
When you were saying, what do we do? Well, we it would appear we're going to unwind everything back to 2008. And what do we do when we find out that those missing Chads or those flipping Chads back in 2000 that got George Bush, George W. elected? What do? I mean, it's becoming apparent to me that somewhere around 1992, between 1988 and 1992, we diverged from what was right. Because, you know, being a child of the 80s and a young adult in the 80s, things seemed pretty good back then. They seemed pretty good. But how far do we unwind?
Yeah. Well, we have a militarized Justice Department now, right? And listen to how they scream when our side, whatever that means, tries to hold them to account. Boy, they scream, holler then, don't they? It's a wicked system. Wicked system. I want to move on. I only got 20 minutes here. Craig Mickle. Sorry, I'm sniffling around here. Pull up Craig's vid, Saving God's Children. Hey, Craig, you want to come in and talk about this before we play the video? Should we play the video first?
I'd just talk about it just for a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, there's a lot of seeds that were sown in 1963.
There sure were, brother.
Ben Carson was talking about the communist agenda 45 in 1963. By the way, that man saved my daughter's life, operated on her over 60 times.
Yeah, I know he did.
I know that man very well. He's a good man. Anyways, what I put in the chat is the golden age of porn started in 1969. And Andy Warhol, if you ever know about him, he looks a little strange because he is. And his film, Blue Stream or Blue Movie, started the whole thing. What I want to show is that Satan's putting seeds in, okay, and the seeds have grown up. And so Pride Month is a plant from one of the seeds from this pornography that was done. And so
Porn Month.
That's pretty. We should rename it Porn Month. That's probably true, because what happened is that became the adult movies, and for us, we've grown up in that area. Then what really helped spur it on was when the videotape system came, and then you could get videotapes and take them home now, right? And so remember when you used to go to the video store, and it would have the front section, and then it would have the back section. Okay. Then what happened is it was DVDs. Now it's on your phones. Okay. And now it's on your kids' phones. And here's where the problem is. Okay. If we don't realize what pornography is and what it does and how it destroys marriages and how it invites demons into people's spirits because they open doors and stuff like that, you know, we're not going to understand that it's tearing our country apart. And so the question is, well, what do you do about it? All right. You know, don't bring up a problem unless you have a solution. Well, Dustin, who's part of our queue here, was willing to lead men out of what this problem can be, or not even to get men into the problem, you know, and he does a conquering series, and I'm going to let him speak about it, but on Saving God's Children, and we're trying to help promote this and be able to offer this on maybe every 6 month basis or whatever.
How can pornography possibly be free speech? How can that possibly be free speech? I mean, come on.
So under Church Toolbox, anyways, a bunch of different things. There's also Pure Desire Ministries. They give ongoing things, you know. So anyways, in our Church Toolbox, I have a lot of different resources that you can get connected. If you know someone, or if you do have this problem, or you want to, you know, go through this with your son or your daughters, or you're not maybe so much the daughters, but women are involved in it too. But I also put a couple things. I just want to highlight this before we go in this thing. This is from Barna Research. This is actually on there, but you can print this off here. But it says 84% of reported porn users say they don't have anyone to help them in their life. Okay, so that's a big problem. 84% want help, and but they don't have any in it. Only 10% of U.S. Christians and church adults say their churches offer programs. So only 1 in 10 churches even have a program about this.
You didn't even mention it, Craig, that you, it is the secret sin, and it's very, very destructive, and nobody likes to talk about it. But the reality is the eye gate, baby, that is the highway to hell, the eye gate.
That's right. You know, and 75% of pastors are individually ministering to someone struggling with porn. So 3 in 4 pastors are doing this. And so what I'm just trying to say is let's get the people connected to the resources that are out there, and let's get working on what we need to do about it. So anyways, Dustin, maybe you can come in and he could talk about this. Or you want to show the film first and then let Dustin come in? That might be the best.
It's your time, man. What's best? We don't have a video.
Okay. So, Dustin, why don't you jump in and just speak about what you're doing there. And
Greg, can you send a video? Do you have a video?
I think Dustin has a video. He has a Conquering Series video. Okay.
Yeah, it's not that serious. But yeah, so I'm starting this training on July the 19th, and it goes until September the 20th. It runs once a week on Saturday, starting at 11 a.m. I have it blocked out for 2 to 3 hours, but it's really dependent on how the group works. And like Craig said, majority of men have a porn problem. A lot of those men are in the church, and there's no solution provided to them, let alone it's talked about. And I can tell you just from reaching out to people I know, you know, friends, hey man, I'm running this training to help men overcome sexual addiction. They don't even respond back to it. You know, this is men that I've known for years because they don't even want to touch it, trying to get people involved. So that's what I'm doing. I'm providing a solution. I'm not a pastor, so I'm not the training is not beating you down. It's building you up. But at the same time, it's also being legit and straightforward on how to overcome such a problem.
Dustin, it's a tremendously embarrassing addiction, is it not?
Amen.
Nobody wants to admit they're looking up porn. Nobody wants to do it. Now, let me say this real quickly, folks. I say this to women. I tell my wife this. A guy who's looking at porn is not looking at another woman. In his mind, he's not looking at another woman. It's a totally and completely a erotic sexual response. It's not like he's in love with that woman. And in fact, it's a total, complete fantasy. So a man could be involved in pornography and still love his wife beyond anything in the world. Folks, you understand that? This is not a sexual addiction. It is a intimacy addiction. When a man is looking at pornography, he has total, complete dominance over that woman. She doesn't fight back. She doesn't say anything. And it becomes a fantasy. So I just want everybody out there to know, if you're struggling with that, dude, it isn't as shameful as what they try to make. See, some people hide in alcohol. Some hide in sports. Some hide in gambling. There's all kinds of addictions. But there's something terribly, terribly self-destructive about pornography. And men don't even want to admit it. Yeah, I mean, women too. I mean, I couldn't believe women look at porn, but I guess they do. Dustin, I just wanted to throw that out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, appreciate it, Coach. And so as Christian men who are supposed to lead our household, you can't lead your household when you're opening the gates of hell up on your screen and bringing in wickedness into your home. It's just going to create so many problems. So this training helps men overcome that. They have to be Christian. It doesn't matter how lukewarm they are. As long as they believe in Jesus Christ, we can work with them.
Amen. So what will this entail, Dustin?
So if they register, you know, I'll get the registration notification. I'll reach out to them. They have to sign some forms because it's confidential, right? It's going to be men who's going to share personal things. That's going to have to stay in a group of other men. So there are forms that will say, I'm not going to talk about this outside the house. And just to give you an example of the trust we're trying to build, if someone's wife called me and asked me what their husband's doing in this Christian training, I wouldn't say a word. I can't tell them that. Tell them we're doing men's training, we're strengthening each other, and that's it. So it'll be once a week, every Saturday, 11 a.m., starting on July 19th.
July 19th. And how long do you expect it to run, Dustin?
To the 20th of September.
All right.
So once a week.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm hacking on y'all out there. Cool. Cool. Again, nobody wants to admit that they got a problem with porn. And a lot of people got a problem with porn.
Let me jump in on this, because this is where it ties in with saving God's children. Okay. Just like a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction, it's never enough. So what happens is you start here, and then you got to get a little bit younger. You got to get a little bit more freakier. You got to get this. And this is why we're having this explosion in child sexual abuse material.
Yep. Okay? Child trafficking. That's right.
And this leads to pedophilia, and this leads to all these other problems. Okay. And so if we don't snip it in the bud here, the tree's going to grow over there. And this is intricately connected to the abuse of children and child molesters and driving a demand for human trafficking. I mean, it's all connected together. So this is, we got to start working on this. We got to start.
I see this from a different perspective. See, here's what I see. If it's illegal to look at young children, why is it okay to look at adults? Nudity is nudity. Sexual promiscuity, whatever you want to, you don't have any age. You say, well, coach, they're making the little girls victims. Yeah, okay. That's going on anyway, friends. That's going on anyway. And it all starts with the legalization of pornography in general. And then they say, well, you get into child porn. What is child porn? Well, child porn is anybody under the age of 18. Did you know that's child porn under the age of 18? Did you know that a lot of the child porn is, what's that called, Craig, when they, it's digital, it's not even real, a lot of what's going on? So this is fantasy central. Pornography is fantasy central, where the man thinks that he's desirous to the woman he's looking at. I'm just trying to make this real for people out there. And I'll say it again to women, to men. You can be hooked on pornography and still love your wife more than anything in the world, man. It's an addiction. Spiritual, mental, emotional addiction. I'll shut up. Go ahead, Craig. Anybody want to come in?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just going to say, and the thing is even, you know, Dustin can only have a certain number of people in his group, but Pure Desire Ministries is on Church Toolbox. Maybe you could just open up Church Toolbox, Spencer, so people can see that this resource is out there. And, you know, pastors can see this too, right? Pure Desire Ministries, Restoration Help. Okay, this is another great organization out there, and they run stuff all the time. They're a really big organization. They're running stuff all monthly, so you can get connected with them too. So there's all these resources. This is set up as a platform for the church to get involved. All you got to do is click a button, and it will get you to an action or a piece of information. So,
folks, we're so wicked. We teach sex education in our schools. You do understand that, don't you? When I was growing up, you would have never ever, that'd been taboo. You would have never ever spoken about that. And now we think that beginning in middle school, whenever it is, we need to train children about sex. Really? That's how diabolical Diabolos is, to get into the mind of the young ones. James Thomas, go on in, James.
Yeah, it's, the devil, the kingdom of darkness, doesn't operate in the natural the way we think natural should be. He creates strongholds. It doesn't matter really what works of the flesh. I mean, if you go to Galatians 5 and 2 Corinthians 6, I mean, you kind of see the works of the flesh. And, you know, he comes in and brings these strongholds. And you mentioned, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. Well, once you get into that imagination thing with porn, and it creates a stronghold. Amen. And so therefore you've got a different entities that actually come in and out of this thing, and it brings condemnation. And so when you got condemnation, it's, you know, I've dealt with it before. Jesus said, confess your faults to one another. I'll confess. I've gotten caught up in it.
Who but, hasn't? Come on, man.
The Father always said, son, when you get caught up into something, don't run from me and hide and put on big leaves. Come to me. I will give you grace to what run Jesus said. Jesus said, he told Paul was dealing with something. It probably wasn't porn, but he was dealing with something. And Jesus, he said, take it away from me. Take it away. And I've been here. I said, take it away. Take it away. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. Mm-hmm. I've given you power through the grace of God to overcome it. Mm-hmm. So this is how we tear down these strongholds. You know, there's nothing necessarily, it is a clash between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, especially when it comes to God and Christian men, you know, yeah. And they just said, you know, I'm going to hide this. I'm going to hide this really, really. Nobody's ever going to know. And this stronghold just continues to build and build until it leads, like Craig said, it gets worse, and then you act out on what you see, and then, you know, a majority of men won't come and get relief because condemnation prohibits it. You know, because I can't go to my brother. You know, how many people in here hide what they do? Whatever, you know, Jesus said, confess your faults one to another. We are to love one another, to see each other grow out of. We live in a dark world. You know, if Satan can convince a third of the angels who were in the very presence of God, it's really, you think of how easy that was and how we are people that, you know, we have a lot of power and authority, but the Satan, he's been doing it a long time, and when you see it, you know it's a kingdom of darkness operating. Amen.
Pornography is an intimacy issue, not a sex issue. I'm going to say that again until you understand this. It's an intimacy. When your guy is looking at porn, that girl ain't talking back to him and arguing with him. It's an intimacy issue, not a sex issue.
Yeah, Dr. Paul. Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
So what's the solution? Well, I think it's pretty obvious. We do it every day here, right? So anybody know Dan Rehill? He's an exorcist. He's a good man. Everybody sends me videos. They think I'm him. He used to be a Wall Street guy. He was molested by a priest. He stepped away from the Catholic Church like I did a long time ago. And he interviews the priests who are pedophiles. And so the common denominator is each priest did one thing that got them into that. And they forgot the liturgy of the hours. Each priest is supposed to say a certain prayers every day during a certain time of the day. And every single one of them stopped doing that. And that was the common denominator. And so what's the common denominator for getting rid of pornography and all addictions? It's prayers, praying unceasingly, or whatever they say. And I find that extremely important these days, Coach, because on Wednesday I'm stuck. I'm going to go to New York with my new lawyer, and I'm going to have to argue with the worst kind of people in the world, the worst narcissist in the world. You can't shoot me and call me a criminal because you shot me.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Paul. Wow. Folks, go ahead. Go ahead, James. Go ahead, James.
Sorry. I mean, the way to really overcome it is you have to see yourself crucified with Christ. You have to crucify the flesh. If you crucify something and it's dead, it can't come alive anymore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're at the end. I made it through with my hack and cough and all that kind of stuff. Sign up. Come join us this weekend. It's going to be a wonderful time. If you're having, I assume most of you are getting your own housing. If you're having housing issues, let me know. We have the tent. You can sleep in the tent. Bring a sleep under the tent. It's a big tent. You can stay in that. Come and fellowship, man. Rub arms, elbows, those who are like-minded. Blessings. See you tomorrow.